On this episode of The Playbook, I have NBA Hall of Famer David Robinson, the Admiral, and Daniel Basakis, co-founders of the Admiral Capital Group. And we're going to talk about how you need to be who you say you are. Join me for all this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I got another David for you. He's a little bit taller than me, David Robinson, with his partner, Daniel Basakis, founders of the Admiral Capital Group. And these guys are doing extraordinary things as what I call compassionate capitalists, trying to change the world and impact the world. I'm going to start off, you know, partnerships. My dad gave me a rule about partnerships, and even my business partner is Warren Moon. And my dad always said, there's three rules about partnerships. Number one, never go into a partnership. Two, if you're going to go into a partnership, make sure your partner has more money than you. And then three, if you don't listen to rule one or two, go back to rule number one. How did you guys, you guys are about as much of twins like Warren and I are. How did you guys get together in this partnership?
Yeah, I mean, with Dan and I, we had the same heart. You know, I was working in the community doing education, and we had started a small school in San Antonio, wanted to impact the inner city kids, lower income families, and get them focused towards college. Dan was sharpening up his skills at Duke Business School, Fuqua School, and was actually friends with one of my best friends from college. So they came down together to work on the project together and helped me think through the future of the school. And as I got to know Dan, I really enjoyed him, enjoyed his passion, not only for business, but his passion for the community. And he loved what we were doing and said, look, I want to help you. So he got back to Goldman and said, you know, let's raise money. Let's kind of execute on the things we talked about it. So Admiral Capital was born over those next couple of years. And we've, on the business side, you know, as a partner, Dan, has been amazing. I think the biggest thing about, you know, partnerships, you know, you talk about don't get into partnerships, but, you know, I look at them as teams, right? One of the things I've been very blessed in is being able to build strong teams. And I think the same principles always apply, right? If you're going to put together a team, you don't always have to look the same or have the same skill sets or, you know, or whatever. You know, we had, you know, everybody from Dennis Rodman to Avery Johnson to, you know, Tim Duncan. I mean, that's a wide variety of guys, and we had tremendous success. So, you know, you look at Dan and me and you think, okay, those two guys, 1 7-foot guy, you know, 1 6-foot guy. But we both have the same heart, and the heart for community, the heart to do the right things. And I think that's a great foundation for a business.
Yeah. And education obviously is also intertwined in there with your heart. And, you know, I came from a Jewish mom who always said doctor, lawyer, failure. The fetus wasn't fully developed till after graduate school. And it's a remarkable thing. And Warren and I have the Crescent Moon Foundation. We've given scholarships to kids that go to college for over 30 years. And we see the impact that the education has given. And one of, I think, the biggest challenges that we have, it is remarkable, is we don't educate our kids. You know, we spend so much money on nonsense, our governments do, our private corporations, where there's just this idea of empowerment. And I'm looking at, you know, the idea that let's get money to empower children so that they can improve themselves and live to their potential. It doesn't seem like rocket science. Daniel, why do you think, you know, coming from the capital background that you do, that people have such a resistance, you know, to understanding how if we pour money into our children, we're all going to benefit for the longevity of our society?
Yeah, I think part of it is thinking about the return on investment. And some people maybe want immediate returns. And when I saw what David was doing in the San Antonio community, it wasn't just about education. As I started spending more time there, it was about the pillars he had built at the Carver Academy of character, service, integrity, initiative, discipline, and teaching kids who have very little to actually go out and raise money and support a school in Africa. And that everybody can be involved in service projects and show them the pathway. So I think it's a complicated issue. And so it's not just pouring money into education, it's also building the character piece. And so I think if it was an easy solution, I think more people would probably pour money into it to solve the problem. It's not just, it's not an easy problem to solve.
And it's getting more complex because our education is so expensive. Technology, you know, on top of that. And now, of course, with the compressed uncertainties of COVID that we have, and we have not only remote working, but, you know, as a parent of four children myself, there's now this aspect of remote learning and protecting our children and teachers and administrators. How has this dramatic shift in education, this rethinking of education, impacted your original idea of the Admiral Capital Group? And what are you guys doing today to effectuate the goals accordingly?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, you're right. The world is changing, you know, dramatically. But I think the basic principles are the same, right? You know, like Dan talked about, we had our pillars: leadership, initiative, integrity, faith, service, discipline. Those are things that don't change. So we're still going to focus on those areas. Now, how you deliver, it may change. And I think IDEA Public Schools is in as good a position as anyone going forward. We have, you know, 50,000 students throughout Texas and Louisiana, and you know, we're adjusting just like everyone else is, trying to figure out what's the best way to get kids to the point where they're going to be able to be ready to go to college and get them accelerated in their schoolwork. So no one knows that answer, right? Hopefully things get to a point where we can still get kids back together, because I think that's the best way to learn, to really feed off of each other, to, you know, number one, we talk about diversity, and you can't experience diversity if you don't actually get out of your house and you go down the street and you talk to the people over there that don't look like you and don't sound like you. So I think, you know, our schools are very important, because it does bring together a nice mix of people, and those kids are able to sit with me and sit with Dan, or he, you know, sit with my son David Jr. and see someone who can personally mentor them, personally walk them through and say, look, this is what you need to get to this next level. It makes a huge difference in their lives. So hopefully things don't change so much that families want to stay home and don't want to, you know, get together and learn from each other. I think that's a big part of the value that school can bring.
Yeah. I'll add one more piece to that. You asked about what our business is doing during this pandemic. Yeah, for the last 12 years, we've been investing in multifamily and office and retail and hospitality, and we've ventured into sports, entertainment, hospitality, private equity, and we take 10% of our profits to fund internships and programs and support education, but it's been almost two separate efforts. Let's build a successful business that generates good returns, and then let's be thoughtful about how we use some of those profits. Over the last few months, we're spending a lot more time thinking about how can we weave those back together. And if we're going to be buying apartment complexes, how can we help the tenants? How can we help low-income families around those properties? So I think we're spending a lot more time thinking about our mission and how we can be investing to make an impact, because so far we've kind of separated the two.
You know, one of the other things that you've integrated, and I myself find difficult, is principled people are successful people. They're fulfilled, passionate, profitable, and purposeful people. And we tend to sometimes separate ourselves because it's easy to flow off the tongue, leadership and faith and, you know, discipline and all these great terms. But when we're on the ground, and Daniel, you know, you, David Jr., David yourself, you guys are there mentoring face to face. What is the best way to take these, you know, glorious terms that we have and really effectuate empowering them to understand what it is to be a leader, to, you know, consistently and persistently pursue your potential with discipline, to, you know, truly empower other people and give back regardless of the circumstances you're in, you know, being able to have the enlightenment of I'm of service and of value, which is what gives me my character, what gives me my faith. What, you know, how do you guys articulate that because I find that that separation, you know, people throw these terms around and I can tell you guys live them. They're inherent. You didn't have to think about it when I said, what are the principles that you're teaching? But how do you communicate effectively that to somebody that may be hungry?
Yeah. Well, through Carver, we've tried to break it down to the most simple things, right? How do you explain, you know, discipline to a child, right? How do you, you got a 5-year-old, 6-year-old who's coming into kindergarten and you say, look, when we talk about initiative, what does that mean? So, you know, or integrity, for example, our thing is, you know, we do what we say we're going to do, even when no one's watching, right? We try to do the right thing, even when no one's watching. So a simple definition like that goes a long way, whether it's for a 6-year-old kid or for a 50-year-old person. Understanding, just be who you say you are, right? Do the things you're supposed to do. If you have initiative, then you're getting up and you're not waiting for someone. You're doing the right things without someone telling you to do the right things, right? You see, the garbage has not been taken out. And these kids are great. They come and they talk about, you know, this is, you know, we saw that the cat wasn't fed, so we feed the cat. And that for a 5-year-old, now you understand initiative. I mean, it's a very simple deal, right? You know, integrity, you know, being who you are even when no one's watching. Those are simple concepts, but they're powerful. And we have to remember that those are the things that if we espouse to see in others, then we have to exercise those for ourselves. So whether it's in my marriage, you know, you can't separate what you do at home with what you do in your business. I mean, that's that character that you show with your wife and your kids is going to be the same character you're supposed to show in the office. And so the best thing to do is not to separate those things. And so that's what we just try to, you know, we try to teach the kids through those pillars. Look, these are simple concepts, but if you're not a man of integrity, if you don't have the discipline, if you don't have faith to understand the perspective, because it's not about you. All this stuff, you know, when you spend all your time worried about you and your future and your resources and your fortune, you're going to die inside. But if you spend your time worried about how do I help this person next to me, then you're going to grow and everything's going to come together. It's the same as building a team. You know, Dan and I work because we look at each other and we say, how do I put him in a position where we can be successful, right? Dan can't play basketball. He can't shoot the three. He can't dunk on, you know. So I got to, you know.
Let's not push it. Come on.
Okay. Maybe you can dunk. Maybe. But I'm working hard to help Dan get to a place where he can't reach. And Dan is working hard to help me get places I can't reach. I've been playing basketball for, you know, the last 25, 30 years. I'm not great at networking. And Dan is a phenomenal networker. So he's working with me to say, okay, look, David, don't close your doors. Don't shut your phone down. Talk to people, you know, get out. And you know, this is how we build our business. So we're trying to put each other in a position where we can be successful. And that's why Admiral has been successful. We put together a team of people who are extremely thoughtful, although we may not, like I said, look the same or come from the same backgrounds, we're working hard to help one another and help the community.
You know, one of the other things I see is so important, and it seems as if you guys do it really well with over 50,000 kids, is teaching them that it's okay to ask for help. And I think one of the biggest interferences that we have from the progress that we want to make in the acceleration of our own children is making them feel comfortable about not knowing what they don't know and asking for help, finding someone in the position that they want to be in. And, you know, obviously, David, for you, it's easy for kids to look up to you and, you know, not physically, obviously, but as a stature, you know, of what they want to be. But I find that, you know, most of my time in working with the children around the world is just making them feel comfortable that, hey, you're making me feel good when you ask me for help. You're giving me a gift, a present. Right. When you tell me, man, I want to be like you. There's no greater gift when you're an old, you know, geezer like me, when a kid says, hey, I want to be like you. Will you teach me? Will you help me? And yet they sit there and they're afraid to ask for help. Are there certain things that you guys espouse and teach within the Admiral program that you have to ask for help simply?
Well, we've tried different programs, and I think, you know, we did one program in Houston in particular to try to help help kids realize the potential, right? Realize their potential. But, you know, doing that thing at scale is a challenge, right? Finding the right programs that can really work across across city lines, across state lines. I mean, we've done a ton of, we have 90 schools in Texas, right? So, but then you go to Louisiana and that's a different, you know, mentality. And so we're figuring out kind of across the board, we're going into Florida now. How do we kind of adjust that message and make sure we're being accurate in all the communities? You know, Texas, South Texas is largely Hispanic. But then you go into New Orleans and Baton Rouge, and they're not largely Hispanic. And then you go into Florida. So, you know, we're trying to find that message that really fits across all lines, that brings kids to a place where they're inspired and encouraged. But I think it's simple, right? Be the example you want them to follow. You know, it's really not difficult. You know, I can't help anybody outside my own house if I'm not good with my own kids, right? I gotta be able to set that tone and know what I'm talking about and be convicted about the things that I'm talking about. And so, you know, that's kind of the foundation of what we've tried to do as a business and through IDEA Public Schools.
And Daniel, what do you see, you know, coming from your background as the biggest challenge of effectuating what you guys want to do? What's the biggest challenge today that you're facing?
Yeah, I would say that, you have people that want to just are focused on returns and the financial aspects of investing. You have foundations that are focused on making an impact. And I think a lot of the problems that we're trying to address, even within real estate and where people are living, when you look at an apartment complex, that's where people live. And right now they're doing their online schooling. And if we can improve the technology and improve the quality of the foods and the fitness for the kids and workforce development, that's an effort that brings everybody together. It's an investment, but it's also supporting the families. So I think continuing to bring everybody to the table and talk about how can we invest dollars in communities that's generating a return, but also helping the families. And we all have to talk together. And I think showing people pathways also, whether it's the kids, and you know, we're working with Prep for Prep in New York, and we have an intern now for the summer to show people opportunities in the real estate world, or we're also hosting calls with about 25 professional athletes every week and inviting CEOs to come on and talk. Some of the athletes come into our office. Whoever it is, we just want to show them, here is a pathway. Here's how the real estate world works and private equity and investing. And here's how you can also make an impact. Because a lot of the people we're working with, they are the ones that have made a lot of money. And obviously in the sports world, especially in the NBA, that money's getting bigger and bigger. They can go back into their community and make a big difference. So if we can help them preserve their capital and reinvest it and make an impact efficiently, that's what we want to do.
Yeah, I love the idea of, you know, records are meant to be broken. It's easy to break a record when you see the record. It's so important, you know, to get these CEOs and athletes to realize the power that they have, because it's like setting a record, you know, oh, I want to be better than David Robinson. I want to be better than Daniel or David Meltzer, right? We have to set that out there and allow them to see, hey, we're really not that great. You know, I think that's the best part about when people meet people, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, executives, is they get an opportunity to say, you know what, these guys aren't that great. I can do better than them. And I think that's a really great, valuable lesson that both of you are providing to everyone, and just so appreciated. Last thing real quick, I'm a big one-liner guy, lesson person. You know, I love to tell people to be kind to their future self and do good deeds with both of you live by. It's a lesson I learned from Lee Steinberg years ago. When you meet with these kids, what's your golden line, your golden lesson? Daniel, you first, and then David.
I think just take pride in your work, and no matter what you're doing, give it everything you have. Leave it all out there.
Love it.
Yeah. No, that's a great one. You know, my thing for the kids is, you know, don't just always put your best out there for everyone, because you never know who's looking. you never know what the outcome is going to be from your best efforts. So you can never kind of back off. If you've been given a gift, you have to live that gift out, right? Be faithful to what you've been given. And I think a lot of people underestimate what they've been given and the situation and the opportunity. And And so a lot of these kids are thinking, you know, I come from here and I'm, you know, well, George Washington Carver was a slave. He had nothing. And look what he did. You know, so understand that you've been given everything you need. You just have to figure out how to take the resources and the opportunity you have right now and multiply it.
You nailed it. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have everything we need. And both of you are setting such a great example and empowering others to empower others. Certainly appreciate it. David Robinson, Daniel Basakis, thank you so much for joining me, Dave Meltzer, here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.